John, let's talk a little bit more about their physical form and then get into where they may be. Now, they are very close to humans in that they have, what, two arms, two legs, a head?
The general form as a human being does, two arms, two legs, a head, eyes in the same place, face generally looking the same. Some of the structures differ in the face. For example, you wouldn't see any eyebrows on these creatures or eyelashes. There are no lips. It's pretty much little scutes or scales that are wrapped tightly around a ridge that forms a line across their mouth. No ears, perhaps a small scale or flap actually laying right alongside the skull. Eyes that are almond-shaped and wrap around the sides a little bit of their head.
Mm-hmm.
Pupils that have vertical slits in them, often referred to historically as the flame-like pupils. They also have, they're very broad-chested. These are the general reptoids that we're talking about, the ones that people have seen most. Broad-chested, strong arms, very lean bodies. For the males, they've been seen actually wearing outfits, perhaps trying to disguise themselves as humans at a distance.
Interesting.
Otherwise, they have actually been seen without any clothes on, and with the males, you can't see any outside genitalia because it's wrapped within a cloaca, which is a sac. It's like a pouch. And
how about digits on hands and feet?
Digits, you got three digits with an opposable thumb. The nails are usually more toward like a dog's than anything that's been popularly described as long and sharp and hooked, and that just sounds really scary. But for the most part, we've come down to seeing the patterns revealed that they're more of a dog-like claw. Their feet also are like regular human feet. However, they've got a fourth. Kind of like a thumb or a digit that's wrapped around halfway back up their ankle that's on the opposite side. So we're talking about beings that are physically imposing. We're also talking about some of them have been seen to be quite wild and reported as being more animal-like than anything. The chupacabra is an example of that. People say that they see scales on this creature, but at the same time, hair-like structures. Well, if you study anything about keratin and how even hair came about in the mammal world, you'll discover that it's all from the same keratin growth, and that eventually over time it elongated from a scale out to a long structure of hair that was hollow and allowed for more thermal protection against the body. So we're talking about it's hair and scales are not so different as people would really think. So some of these creatures have looked like they've been hairy. Some of them have actually quills. Some have been seen with quills under their chin, which reported looking like they had a beard. And then there are the Draco, of course, which I mentioned before. These are brownish-green beings with the same physical construct as one of the regular reptoids that I just described. However, they have large wings on their backs that are made of a leathery-like skin. And sometimes when people have seen them at a distance, they look like quotes.
There was an old
over their shoulders.
There was a movie with Dennis Quaid that, and I think they called the reptilian alien a Drac or something like that.
Drac from Draco.
Drake, that's right, exactly.
And of course, you know, all of this is historical context, which television shows like Stargate has used to promote the entire philosophy of the show, this evil reptilian thing. And as you can see in modern media now, we've been inundated with the dragon images from Steven Spielberg and all these guys, and now we're seeing an emergence of humanoid reptilian characters coming up in science fiction and films. As a matter of fact, NBC is getting ready to remake V into a 2 or 3 hour miniseries.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's just been tagged. So that's why I'm saying everybody's got to understand that this is the next step in the human awareness of what exactly is going on in this planet.
Why are all the reptilians in the media presented as evil?
Well, it's because it's actually using 2,000 years of indoctrination, so something's already been set in its path to help them do it, to help people produce fear. And, you know, fear promotes things to be sold. Everybody loves to be scared. They go to the movie theaters all the time.
Sure. That's, and it's also control.
Right, and that's why people who present these beings as nothing, I mean, they'll have perhaps one or two detractors that say, I mean, not detractors, but they'll have one or two lines in a presentation that says they're not all bad, but the only ones that are concentrated on and being presented to the public are being told that they're manipulative, they're in charge of our leaders, they're doing this, that, and the other. And to me, it seems to me that if there is really a global neighborhood out there of other species that are living underground, and we want to be part of that neighborhood, then I would think that as wise as they might be by now, they may be expecting us one day to wake up and take responsibility for the ills of our own planet instead of trying to brush them off on some unseen creatures that somebody is saying is, you know, it's a witch hunt beginning.
Well, going back to Byrd, Admiral Byrd, again, one of the reasons why they wanted to talk to him, if they did, was because they were concerned about what we were doing to the planet.
Right, because why would something off our planet be so concerned about our planet? If they had a hands-off policy, that would mean that they wouldn't be concerned about the planet. But it seems to me that every time, you know, we hear about abductions and such like that, the real cases, that 4 to 5% of cases that just can't be rocked, you always have these people coming away feeling a little bit more eco-sensitive. And it seems to me that if they're from this planet and there's a trickle-down, in other words, if we destroy the surface and start a chain collapse, it's going to affect the food chain.